The lawsuit was filed a year and a half ago on behalf of Nasser al-Awlaki, the father of radical Muslim cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, against former CIA Director Leon Panetta and several other high government officials. In 2010, when the government announced it had put his son on the targeted killing list, Nasser al-Awlaki sued the government, saying it did not have the authority to kill his son, an American citizen who had not been charged with a crime, without due process. But the court ruled that the father did not have standing to sue, and the request for judicial review before his son was killed raised political questions that could not be resolved by the court. The case was dismissed. In September 2011, Anwar al-Awlaki was killed in Yemen by a U.S.-controlled Predator drone. Sameer Khan, another U.S. citizen who was traveling with al-Awlaki, was also killed in that attack. And 2 weeks later, Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, Anwar's 16-year-old son, who had gone to Yemen to find his father, was killed in a separate drone attack as he was eating dinner with a teenage cousin. A new lawsuit was filed claiming the killings violated the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment and that the courts do have a crucial role to play in judging the legality of the government's actions. The government has again filed a motion to dismiss the case.
Despite the fact that they acknowledged killing Anwar al-Awlaki, his 16-year-old son, and Sameer Khan, and despite the fact that they've acknowledged that they did so outside of hostilities and without due process, they claim that the court has no role in reviewing whether or not the killings were legal.
Maria LaHood, senior staff attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights.
They claim that they're political questions, and so the decisions are for the executive to make and not the courts. They also claim that national security concerns preclude the court's review and that they should have immunity as government officials.
Brett Kaufman, National Security Fellow at the ACLU's National Security Project, says the government takes the position that no one, not the public, not the families of the victims, and not even the courts, should be allowed to ask for an independent review of its actions.
It's especially disturbing that it's taken this position in the context of what has been a two-year public relations campaign where the government has put forward selective leaks of classified information that shed the best light on its targeted killing program, an obstinate position towards oversight from Congress as to these matters, and also in federal court resisting any attempt to pry information loose from the government via the Freedom of Information Act. So now the government is taking finally the extreme last step and making the overt argument that it's nobody's business but the executives who it decides to kill overseas, whether or not that person is an American citizen.
The executive has never claimed such power.
Again, Maria LaHood.
We did bring a case before Anwar al-Awlaki was killed. We were trying to prevent the government from killing Anwar al-Awlaki without due process, outside of war, unless he was an imminent threat. And the court there dismissed the case, saying the decision was one of the executive, but it also said that the authorization and the review must await another day. And in that case, we were actually seeking to prevent the killing, not after the fact bringing a case for three admitted killings for damages.
There's another difference. The U.S. had labeled Anwar al-Awlaki a terrorist. It had made no such claim against his son, but LaHood says accusing the father of being a terrorist still didn't justify the government's actions.
We allege the killing of all these three U.S. citizens was illegal. Not even Anwar al-Awlaki was charged with any crime. He was just suspected by the government of terrorism. So I think it's especially egregious where you have a 16-year-old who is killed by his own government. And his grandfather, his family, cannot achieve justice. I mean, hopefully there will be justice in this case, but it was just recently that the government even acknowledged killing these three citizens. Up until then, it said nothing about it.
Kaufman says the outcome of this case could affect not only the targeted killing of U.S. citizens, but the entire program. The standards governing the use of lethal force are the same no matter who the victim may be. And U.S. law on the use of deadly force is on a par with international humanitarian law.
Both are very clear that there needs to be a distinct and imminent threat before force is used. And so it's hard to say what the implications would be in the United States legal system for non-citizens. It's much easier for U.S. citizens to get redress in our courts. But in effect, the legality of these killings and the standards that the court accepts as governing these kinds of actions would really apply to all of the government's targeted killing program.
And the consequences of losing this battle could be extremely serious. Kaufman says the Obama administration is claiming absolute immunity for life and death decisions being made behind closed doors.
And the repercussions of that are going to be felt. If the government succeeds in convincing the court that it has no business judging the constitutionality of these actions, the executive branch has carte blanche to continue these kinds of operations even when American lives are at stake, even when American lives are targeted. And that should be profoundly disturbing to Americans and our democracy.
For WBAI News, I'm Andrea Sears.